Good morning. Last week we began with the scripture 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 and 15. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And through the week, I've just been meditating on and off and thinking through the thoughts of what a spiritual man, the kind of habits that he has. Last week, we talked about having the mind of Christ and that a spiritual man understands spiritual things. They understand and discern the mind that the Lord has because they live close to him. And so I want to, if the Lord will help us this morning, challenge us that we live spiritual lives. I don't believe that's a bad word, spiritual. The Lord expects us to be spiritual. He expects us to be in touch with him and to know him and to love him. And he expects those things from our life. And, you know, our life truly revolves around the spiritual center of the Lord's will. There are spiritual people. Again, that's a good thing. People who know the Lord. That the things of God are not just an add-on. They're truly the center of their lives. And so this morning I want to look at some folks in the Bible that gives us a pattern to go by, that trusted in the Lord. You know, I look at the habits of spiritual people, and there's a lot of ways you could go with that, and I believe, God willing, we'll have a little series maybe on the habits of spiritual people. But this morning I felt like the Lord began to minister different scriptures and thoughts to me about their heart trust in the Lord. Spiritual people and people that have known God and that have made it through to heaven are people who have put their trust in the Lord. In Psalms 28 and 7 to 9, it says, "The Lord," this was a psalm of David, and it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." The Lord, verse 8, "The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed." David knew that his strength was not in the number of horses and chariots and strength of his men, but he knew that it was in the Lord. And he said, "The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Lead them also and lift them up forever." In Psalm 20 and 7 to 9, I believe this was a psalm of David as well. He said, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call." You know, David was a king, but he was wise enough to know that his strength came from the king, the real king. And this morning, I just trust that God will cause each one hearing this morning and myself that we will recognize how all of our strength can come from the Lord. And he wants it to come from the Lord. And that's what God has set himself in our lives for. There are a lot of things that people put their trust in. Our strength. I don't have the strength that some people have. I don't even have the strength I used to have. But some people put their trust in their strength. They boast about it. They wear their clothes in such a way to show it. Others, it's their power. They make sure people know who they are. They make sure they're on top, and they make sure that they're covered. People trust in those things. Other people, it's their money. They trust. The scripture says money is a defense. But you know, it's a very temporary defense. And we can put our trust in those things. But there's going to come a day, and it's not going to be too far off for you and me, where the only thing that can help us will be the Lord. And so if we can learn through our lives to follow the ways, to follow the habits of men and women who have went before us, who have been spiritual and have known the Lord, you know, our heart can rest. It's so nice when our heart can rest. When we trust in ourselves, it works pretty good until it stops working. And then people, they want to pull the trigger. They want to commit suicide, or they want to run, or they want to change their name or whatever. But when we can trust in the Lord, our heart can rest. We can know that God, the great God of heaven, has things in His hands and in His control. This morning, I felt like the Lord brought this to my mind. Luke 12 and 16, we find in here a parable that the Lord gave us. I want to read it this morning because it has so much value. I know these things are like the bread that we eat every day. We hear it. We hear it often enough, perhaps, but we need it. It's our daily strength. And so we'll start in the 16th verse. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Do you know this morning, this man had a great sense of security. And it was a nice security. And he felt good in it. And it provided him a sense of rest and a sense of peace. But there's that little three-letter word there. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I'm sure that's played out millions of times in this world. But you know, this morning, we can have a hope that's much greater than that this man had. He had a sense of security, but it was a false sense of security. He wasn't stopping to think that he himself could be removed from the picture. And then whose would those things be? And who would take care of them then? Would it be some foolish person that would spend it indiscriminately? Would it be someone that would ruin their health? Would it take the lives of his children and turn them into something he wouldn't want them to be? He wasn't thinking clearly. He had a hope, but it was in the wrong place. And I want to encourage us this morning. We have our hopes too. It's natural to have hopes. But folks, this man wasn't rich toward God. And his hope wasn't in the Lord. And it failed him miserably. And the Lord puts these things in His Word for our benefit and for our help. Oh, how we want the Lord to be our hope. How we want to be able to trust and rest in Him. That the future is in His hands. And that everything we have is His. And when our hope is that way, folks, that's a blessed hope. That's a place where Psalm 146 and 5, it says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. What a blessing. Happy is that man whose hope is in the Lord his God. We have the stories of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham and so many back there. We have many stories about people whose hope was in the Lord. And we see them And we see the joy, the blessing that it brought into their lives. I want to remember a man this morning that probably most of us well know his name. His name was Joseph. And his hope was in the Lord. Everything about Joseph's life when he was a young man turned down. Everything turned against him. He was deprived of his very dignity. The coat that his father had so carefully made for him and loved him, they took it from him. His clothes, they took from him his dignity and put him in a pit and then sold him as a slave. And you know, possibly a slave the rest of his life. Joseph had no clue what the rest of his life was going to be. I can only imagine the bitter tears that he shed daily. I can only imagine the grief that was in his heart. Dad, I want to see you. Dad, I want to talk to you. I want to tell you what's happened here. But he couldn't do that. For all he knew, he was going to be a slave the rest of his life. But you know what? His hope and his prayer and his trust was in the Lord. And he was taken from there. And of course, his life began to prosper after that. That's what people's lives do whose hope is in the Lord. They don't stay down forever. It's impossible. They're not going to, because the strength of God is their strength. And then he rose to a position of prominence again, and then he was lied about completely. He had been so right, so righteous in what he did, and yet he was imprisoned as if he was a criminal and deprived of the life that others would enjoy and know. And for all he knew, he would spend his life in prison, perhaps. And he spent years there. But again, Joseph was a man whose hope was in the Lord, and he was faithful to God. In that place, he was a faithful man. He was a man that could be trusted. He was a man that you find him gaining responsibility there. Why? Because the jailer knew this was a man of God. He knew something was different about him. Perhaps he didn't know about the God of Jacob or the God of his fathers. He didn't know about Abraham and Isaac and his father, Jacob. But he saw the results of a life, a spiritual life given to God. Oh, those that have trusted in God before us, folks, I don't believe a single one will be disappointed in the end. We can put our trust in the Lord and know, as long as my trust is fully in the Lord, I trust Him. We love Him. We serve Him. We give our lives to Him. We put things in charge of Him. The direction our life is going, our future, our past, our struggles, our wonderments, we put in His hands and we trust in Him. And I don't believe we'll be disappointed at all, folks. I don't think anybody will be disappointed that puts their whole hope in the Lord. You know, this man that we read about that put his hope in his riches and in his future, the Scripture tells us, 1 Timothy 6 and 17, it says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." So whether we're rich or poor, the Lord gives us all things richly to enjoy. And let's enjoy the things He's given us, but let's don't put our trust in anything but Him. Charge them, it says. Charge them. Give them a charge to keep. You trust in the living God this morning. In Jeremiah 9 and 23 and 24, we find here scriptures that Jeremiah wrote, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. There's a lot of things we can glory in, and there's a lot of things we can feel like we can trust in. But the Lord said, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Now I want to encourage us this morning, trusting in the Lord is not what some may think it to be. Trusting in the Lord is not something that, well, we do this or we don't do that. Folks, it has those things in it. But it's a trust that our heart believes God is in control, and we let him have that control. We let him have that place as the ones that we have seen in the past. I want to read another story this morning about a man that we all know as well, pretty much, and his name was Isaac. And this is in Genesis 26, in verse 18 to 31. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. You know, Abraham had come through that area. Isaac was with him. They had dug those wells. Isaac remembered that. He knew the names of them. And he called, they had names for these wells. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And so we see Isaac moving on, trusting that God's going to give him water. And so they strove for another well. And it says, verse 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Folks, I want us to know this morning, and I hope we remember, that when we take God's way in things, he's going to appear to us. He's going to lead us. We're not trusting in horses that can't lead us. We're not trusting in chariots that can't help us. We're not trusting in the hand of man that will fail us. But we're trusting in the one that can. And so the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And it says that he said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not. Don't we know how often, how many times at these kind of critical times the Lord appears and he says, don't fear. He gives us a scripture, or he just speaks to us, or a dream in the night, perhaps. I've known people that have had many dreams. They feel the Lord has talked to them in dreams, and he has some people. But you know, the Lord has a way to speak to you and to me, and he will. And it says here, fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed. And it goes on in verse 25, and he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. In the beginning of this, we mentioned that we wanted to talk about habits of spiritual people, of spiritual men and women. We want to talk about those things that that we see that others did. This is a habit, folks, of people who trust in God. They don't fight for their way. But it goes on to say, then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzah, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, whence come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, isn't that something? Isaac knew these people were bound against him. And he said, why are you coming to me? You hate me. What you guys have, this has been nothing but trouble. But listen to what they saw in this man. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there now be an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt. Why were they worried about this man doing them some hurt? They were running him out of the country. And they had run him out for some distance. They knew God was with this man. And he said that we want to make a covenant, that you won't do us any hurt. And as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Well, they recognized that. They didn't quite maybe admit what they had done. But they were afraid. They knew God was with this people. Perhaps they knew that the Lord had made promise to Abraham. And they were afraid and made a covenant with Isaac. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away. And they departed from him in peace. You know, Isaac, like all the other pilgrims of faith, all those who have trusted in God and followed God, Isaac trusted in God here. Folks, it's a habit that we want to have in our life, that we don't turn to our own mind or our own resources or people even, but we turn to the Lord. Folks, there's a blessing in that. People here recognized, and they called them, what did they say, the blessed? But thou art now the blessed of the Lord. They recognized that, and I believe that blessing is for the people of God. Oh, let's let the Lord have the reins of our life. I believe we'll find there a blessing that even those that hate us can't deny. There's something there. And when they get down, many times, folks, I've found it personally myself, when they get down and they need prayer, they'll be calling and asking for prayer. I want to read one more story in the Old Testament. And we have a whole New Testament full and could have went on and on with this. But I'm just giving you what I felt like God gave me this morning and for this morning. And Job 1 and 14 to 21. Folks, I want us to think about what we read here. The story of Job is an amazing story. And we start in verse 14. It says, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And it goes on, and I want to finish that in a minute. But then who was this Job man? Must have been someone awful wicked, wouldn't you think, to have all these things happen to him? But no, he wasn't a man that was wicked. God spoke for Job. And in the first verse of the first chapter, it tells a little about him. And it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. This was a man, all right, but we see nothing of wickedness in him, do we? We see the blessing of the Lord. He blessed him greatly. And then we find all this disaster. Surely, what is wrong? Surely something is wrong. We read on, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Folks, I've never experienced anything close to this, and you probably haven't either. But this is about as bad as it gets. And it did get worse for Job, even from here. But you know, this morning, Job was a man who did not trust in the blessings of the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. And I want to just make that our challenge today, that we trust in the Lord, that we put our hope in Him and our confidence in Him and our strength in Him. It says then, verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, that would challenge people that's full of the grace of God, would it not? It would challenge all of us, wouldn't it? We may have our challenge today. We may have our challenge before us. And I just want to encourage us today that we don't trust in the things God has done for us or given us, but that we hold them very loosely and that we allow God that place in our life. Lord, if you touch my life, my body, my children, my home, my things, oh, we hope He doesn't, don't we? But if you do, Lord, I still trust you. I still put my trust and my confidence in you. I won't shame your name by turning and saying, where is God? But Job had a perspective on it. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe there had to be some history in Job's life. He had to know something of God. He had to know the Lord was real. And folks, we need to know that too. We need to know God in our life and that He is real and that our hope is in Him. I want to ask you this morning, where is your hope? What are you hoping in? Are you hoping that the economy is going to turn around and you're going to prosper greatly and then you can bless the Lord? Are you hoping that your health's going to be all right? Or if it's not, are you hoping that there's a physician that knows all the answers? Are you hoping against hope for something? I want to encourage us. There's only one place that we can put all of our hope, and that is in the Lord. This morning, let's let our hearts bless the Lord. I want to read chapter 1 and verse 8 through 12 of Job. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there begins the destruction that we read about. We might ask, why? Why would God do such a thing? I don't have all those answers, but I know he's God. And I know that this man's story has comforted many millions of people through many years. It's comforted probably your life and mine if you've lived for the Lord a little while. And the Lord may use our life for those things. It was but a spot in Job's existence. Job's still alive. Job's still there. His soul is in the presence, I believe, of the Lord. Or his place, I believe, he is waiting for that time to be when the Lord is going to bring all things to himself. And I believe the Lord, Job is enjoying great felicity right now. The Lord help us today to take upon us the pattern and the way and the habits of people who have went before us that made it to heaven. That's going to be a glorious day, folks, when we see the Lord. I believe Job's enjoying that today. I want to read one more scripture, set of scriptures, and that's in Jeremiah 17. And we find in Jeremiah 17 and verse 7, it says, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Folks, I could not say it enough. I know it to be true. I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. And I hope you do too. And I hope if you're young, that you have a whole life, that when you get to the end, you feel like you could write another book and put it in there with all the other books. Books that people have written of their lives, of the things God has done. Folks, we know it's true. For those of us that will put their trust in the Lord, that will take His way above theirs, that will stay honest when it seems best to not be, when it seems like I'm going to lose it, I can't do this. And maybe in our mind we think, oh, I could if it was $1 million. I could just give that to the... But what about the little situation on our job today? What about the way we're dealing with our family now? What about how we're dealing with those who work for us? I want to encourage us today, trust in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord and in His ways. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Depart from evil. And let's trust in the Lord. But the scripture here goes on, and it says, Blessed, as we read, is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the day of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We find Job was a man like that. We find Joseph was a man like that. David was a man like that. Isaac, we see his life and the blessing that we get from those people who trusted in the Lord, all of them. I believe our roots will spread out as a tree by the living waters if we'll trust in the Lord. Let's each one take upon us today the same thing that those before us have done, that declared that they are strangers and pilgrims in the earth, and declared that they seek for a city. They seek for something greater than this. Folks, strangers and pilgrims look at things very different than residents do. We're not residents of this world. We do live here. But folks, our real home is in heaven. And so this morning, let's all be encouraged to go to heaven today. Let's make the choices in our life that make that possible. You know, it talks about those being like the heath and the desert, and those that trust in man. And I want to encourage us not to trust in anything but God. Set your hope in the Lord. Folks, that's where the blessing is. May the Lord bless each one of us this morning and lift up our hearts in Him. Amen.